Chapter 1. A Swift Introduction to Kaizen. Business culture loves the idea of revolutionary, immediate change. But turnaround efforts often fail because radical change sets off our brain's fear response and shuts down our powers to think clearly and creatively. A more effective path to change begins with the small steps of Kaizen. These quiet steps bypass our mental alarm system, allowing our creative and intellectual processes to flow without obstruction. The result? Change that's both lasting and powerful. Leaders are often called upon to make significant improvements to their organizations, to cut costs, to create new products, to reduce mistakes, to improve service, and so on. It's possible to make these improvements by gritting your teeth, squaring your shoulders, and forging ahead no matter what the obstacles. Possible, but not likely. Some managers enjoy this kind of bare-knuckled attack on their organization's problems, and a few even succeed at it. Their stories are dramatic. Quote, "I led our team through a complete reorganization in 6 months," unquote, and feature admirable determination. Quote, "I was poor and uneducated, but I didn't let anything stand in my way. Now I'm the head of my own multi-billion-dollar business," unquote. So they're the ones that draw our attention. If you absorb enough of these stories, you can easily get the impression that the only way to reach your management goals is to hurdle yourself at them, tearing down the fast track to success at breakneck speed and obliterating all barriers in your path. You can also draw the conclusion that if you haven't reached your goals, the reason must be that you're lacking in skill or good old-fashioned grit. Not so. Most of us are programmed to resist radical change. Let me say that again. We are built to resist radical change. As you'll see in the coming pages, our nervous system wires us for resistance to a big overhaul of any kind. This truth applies not just to managers, but also to the employees we need to carry out our programs for change. So if you've tried to change your organization and met with disappointment, there's no reason to feel guilty. But there is reason to feel optimistic. Most groups can achieve success when they step off the fast track and take an alternative path. This path is soft underfoot and shaded overhead. It's such an unassuming little byway that it doesn't attract the world's notice. But believe me, some of the most successful people and organizations have been using it for decades with consistently good results. This path starts with the smallest of steps. It causes no stress, no fear, and you can take it all the way to your goal. But before I tell you more about Kaizen, I'd like you to meet some struggling business owners. We need something bold and innovative. At the time this story began, I was a clinical professor at the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, School of Medicine. I specialized in teaching behavioral health. It was not long past graduation, and many of our students had been hired by existing physician groups or had banded together to start large groups of their own. Four of the doctors, however, had decided to create a small private practice devoted to family medicine. They were deliberate about this decision. They wanted to give their patients thoughtful personal care, and they worried that their freedom to practice as they wished would be stifled by joining a bigger group. When the practice opened, I called to congratulate the young doctors on their new business. However, the voices on the other end of the conversation sounded far from celebratory. They were in trouble, they explained. They committed to a lease on a beautiful office in a prime Santa Monica location and had taken on heavy debt to pay for state-of-the-art equipment. In addition, each doctor had his or her own student debts to pay off. All of these obligations would have been manageable, they said, with a steady flow of patients, but the patients weren't coming. Their city, Santa Monica, had more than its share of doctors, and my former students were realizing that they'd entered a very competitive business world, one that their medical training hadn't prepared them for. Although they were bright, focused, and creative, they were also terrified of losing everything. Sensing their distress, business consultants were knocking on the practice door, offering them assistance and assurances of future prosperity at a steep price. The doctors were trying to figure out where to get the money to hire one of these consultants, or maybe